In our reading from 2 Timothy, Paul is a mentor, he's brother pastor, and a Christian friend to Timothy, who he calls his beloved son. Paul reminds him of the last time he saw him, especially remembering his tears. Grown men and grown women cry, Paul reminds us. And so we can talk about it. He can write about it. We don't exactly know what happened to Timothy, which made him unleash a torrent of emotion and cry on the Apostle Paul's shoulder. Was it the death of a loved one? Was it the betrayal of a friend? Was it discouragement in ministry? We don't know. What matters is that Timothy was vulnerable enough with Paul. He let Paul into the storm raging within him, tossing him around in his own heart and mind. And so Paul becomes like God himself in this letter. The one who keeps count of our tossing, the psalmist says. The one who puts our tears in his bottle and stores them away in his archives. Paul is like the God of Israel here, who hears the cries of his people crying out under the oppression of the pharaohs, under hundreds of years of slavery. He takes note of our tears. Timothy is vulnerable enough, and he is courageous enough to weep before the Apostle Paul, the one who is the apostle to the Gentiles. The man, as you remember, who was knocked off his high horse. The one who was the persecutor of the church. The one who was blinded by the light of Christ himself. How does this great apostle address Timothy's pain? How does he address his spiritual turmoil in his life? Paul first commends Timothy for his sincere faith. Genuine faith does not live in denial of loss, pain, and sin. Authentic faith is humble enough to admit our weakness. Paul should commend Timothy for his sincerity of faith. But here is the surprising twist of Paul's letter of encouragement. This sincere faith did not begin, and it was not born in Timothy's heart in isolation. This is what Paul says is the faith that first lived in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and now, he is sure, lives in Timothy. Remember your grandmother Lois, he says. Remember Mama Eunice, Timothy. We often think of Paul as being a great expositor of doctrine and a theologian of the cross, which he is. But in addition to stringing together great words of truth about who Jesus is and what he has done for us, Paul is a pastor. He brings assurance of God's presence to those around him in grace through the reminders of God's blessings around us, namely here, family. Paul either knows Lois and Eunice personally, or he has heard enough stories about them through Timothy for them to come to mind, for grandmother and mother, and to remind Timothy of how great an impact that they had on him. Can you picture Lois in your mind? The grandma who prays for her children and grandchildren? Can you picture Granny baking bread in her kitchen? And then later you can taste the love in her cooking. This is grandma who lived through the war and the occupation of Rome. This is grandmother whose faith was never shattered, though often tested. She is the one who told stories, and we all learned from them. And she always had time to listen to our struggles. She always gave us perspective and gave us hope. Grandma had a living faith, Timothy. She had a faith that was tested by fire and purified by wisdom. Remember her. Can you picture Mother Lois? She took the torch from her mother and rekindled it. She cast all her anxiety over her young son, Timothy, and she cast that anxiety upon her Lord because she knew that God cared more for him than she as a mother even cared for him. Her faith was in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Her faith was in the God of Lois, Eunice, and Timothy. It was a generational perspective of love. For God's promise to Abraham was from the beginning that all the families of the earth will be blessed. When God reveals himself to Moses, he shares the sobering truth that our sin will visit us until the third and fourth generation. A disturbing reminder. Scripture has long acknowledged what we have only recently begun to understand through the study of genetics, that families suffer patterns of abuse, addiction, and illness across generational lines. Or as you sometimes hear people say, the apple does not fall far from the tree. But thanks be to God that in that same passage, he says that the Lord Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands of generations, not three or four, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. God exponentially brings blessing, healing, and hope to us. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. And when did he begin it? He began it before the foundation of the world. He knew us. And so it shouldn't surprise us that his plan spans thousands of generations. This promise is for you, Peter says, before he baptizes 3,000. This promise is for you and your children. And for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. How can God encourage our hearts this morning? Remember that special grandparent or parent. Maybe she was an aunt or an uncle. Maybe the person is a neighbor that you grew up next to. Maybe that sincere faith was modeled to you by somebody in your home church growing up. Who was it who was a saint in your life, but also gave you permission to be a flawed human being? Who was it that took true interest in you and your faith journey? Who was it that loved you enough to listen and to know when to give you an encouraging word when you needed it most? Paul needed to remember Lois and Eunice. And an even more interesting question, who are the young Timothys, the young Eunices, and the young Loises around us? We have been placed strategically over the span of thousands of generations to lead individuals to a sincere and abiding faith. We're here together to partner in ministry, Paul reminds us. On the back of your bulletins, it says that our mission here at First St. Paul's is to proclaim Christ, to nurture faith, and to serve others. It sparks in our homes. It fans into flame in our houses of worship. It spreads like wildfire, rekindling and bringing hope and healing and peace to the whole world. It celebrates sincere faith. Sincere. That Jesus actually came from heaven to earth to save sinners. That he really did die on the cross to bring about the death of death, sin, and evil itself. And that he truly rose from the dead to assure us of his grace and his abiding presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.